Welcome to the Kindred Church Podcast, where we talk about God, faith, and real life. This is Daniel Childs. I'm the host of the podcast and the pastor of Kindred Church. To learn more about how to connect with our community, check out our website at www.kindrednc.church. You can also follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. We're glad you've tuned in for today's episode. Now, let's talk about God. Well, the other day I was outside. I was actually on a run in my neighborhood, and it was a hot day and I was tired. It was one of those days when I really didn't feel like working out, but I knew that I needed to. And so I had my headphones in and I turned the music up loud and I was running along, grinding through it. And then suddenly something super annoying happened. My phone was in my pocket, and I guess the screen got turned on somehow, and it was the login screen. And as I was running and my phone was bouncing against my leg was hitting all these random numbers on the login screen. And my phone, like I'm sure many of your phones as well, it's got this as a security precaution, this thing where after so many failed login attempts, the phone just locks up for a certain amount of time. So I'm running along unaware that this is happening when all of a sudden the music cuts off in my headphones. And I fish my phone out of my pocket to see what is going on, and I discover that I have been locked out of my phone with no music for 10 minutes. Now, this may not seem like a big deal to you, but it was super annoying to me because without that music to help keep me motivated, without that music to distract me, all I could think about was how much I did not want to be running. I thought about just walking home from there, but I didn't want to quit. And so for the next 10 miserable minutes, I was running out in the heat with no music. And I can tell through this camera that you really do feel sorry for me. So thank you so much for your sympathy. Well, obviously I'm kind of joking, but I share that experience with you because it reminded me of something that's important and that I want us to think about together today. And that is that music is powerful. Music is powerful. And not just for keeping us motivated when we don't want to work out. Music has the power to touch our hearts and our minds and our lives in ways that nothing else can. Music is immersive in that way. If you think about it, you know, music has the power to make us laugh. You think about artists like Weird Al Yankovic or Adam Sandler. On the other hand, music has the power to make us cry and move us deeply. I mean, we think about songs like Amazing Grace or maybe the Hallelujah Chorus. Music has this power to bring back really vivid memories to us. I bet each one of us could name certain songs that every time we hear them, it just takes us right back to our college dorm room or maybe a first date that we went on or some road trip that we went on with our family. Music is powerful. It touches our hearts and minds and lives in ways that nothing else can. It's immersive in that way. Well, we're going to come back to that in just a minute. But first, I want to point out something else that's immersive in a similar way. I want to point out something else that also touches every part of our heart and mind and life. A quick story. One day, Jesus was out with his disciples. They're walking around. We don't know exactly where they are. They're out in some rural place. And all of a sudden, Jesus stops and he starts teaching his disciples. And he starts telling them that soon he's going to go to the big city of Jerusalem. And he explains that when he gets there, he's going to get arrested. And not only that, Jesus says, after he gets arrested, he's actually going to be crucified. He's going to be tortured to death. And then after that, Jesus says he's going to be raised up. Well, the disciples are totally taken aback by this. They're deeply confused. This is the first they've heard about any of this. And Peter, who's one of the disciples, he thinks that Jesus is just having a bad day. And so he pulls Jesus to the side and he's like, Jesus, dude, you cannot be saying things this extreme. This is so bad for morale, you know, just turn that frown upside down. Well, Jesus isn't having any of that. He rebukes Peter. And then Jesus pulls all the disciples back together and he says, guys, listen, there's something that I need you to understand. And Jesus says, this is a quote. He says, all who want to come after me must say no to themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. Jesus says, all who want to save their lives will lose them, and all who want to lose their lives for my sake will find them. All who want to lose their lives for my sake will find them. In other words, Jesus is saying, if you follow me, I will lead you into true, abundant, eternal life. I will lead you into the life that God created you to live. But you got to understand, It's going to take everything you've got, Jesus says. You got to understand this discipleship thing. This is not a part-time gig. I don't just want part of your heart. I don't just want part of your life. You need to surrender your whole self. You need to surrender your whole life to following me. That's what it means to be my disciple, Jesus says. And as counterintuitive as it sounds, that's the way that leads to life. Well, there's no record of what the disciples said right after that, probably because they were speechless, I'm guessing. It's just dawning on them here how immersive this call of Jesus really is. It touches every part of their heart and mind and life. And the same is true for us, the call of Jesus on our life. It touches every part of our heart and mind and life. It's immersive in that way. Well, today, I want us to think about that immersive quality of music on the one hand, and I want us to think about this immersive call of Jesus on our life, and I want us to think about how those two things come together when we make music in worship. If you've been with us in recent weeks, you know that we're in a sermon series right now called Worship Matters. We believe that worship is powerful. Worship has the power to shape and form our hearts and our lives, and that means that the way we worship matters. The things we do in worship matter. And in this sermon series, we're looking at several different parts and pieces of our worship service. And for each one, we're thinking about why we do it and what it means and why it matters. If you were with us a couple of weeks ago, you know we talked about the first movement in worship, which is the gathering. Every service begins with a gathering. And that's a reminder to us that we have a God who's obsessed with gathering people into community. And God calls each one of us to help gather new people into this community that we call church. Last week, we talked about the second movement in worship that we call the proclamation. Every time we worship, we listen to a passage of the Bible. We listen to Scripture because it reminds us the true story of who we are and whose we are. It helps counteract the false narratives that we tend to adopt for ourselves. Well, today, we are thinking about the role of music in worship. And as I was preparing for this sermon, I realized you could probably do a whole sermon series just on the subject of music. But for today, here's the main thing that I want us to think about. We make music in worship because music helps us offer our whole selves to God. We make music in worship because music helps us to offer our whole selves to God. And in that way, music empowers us and music carries us into the life that Jesus calls us to live. You know, every time we sing in worship, every time we make music in worship, we believe that we're joining this great choir, this massive choir that stretches back thousands and thousands of years in the past, and we believe stretches thousands and thousands of years in the future. In fact, we believe this is a choir that stretches into eternity. Throughout the scriptures, over and over again, we see the people of God using music as part of their worship. In the Old Testament, we find music over and over again. And in fact, scholars tell us that some of the oldest, most ancient parts of the Old Testament are actually song lyrics. They're these worship songs that the people of God were singing for hundreds of years before anybody even bothered to write them down in an official kind of way. The book of Psalms in the Old Testament, it's this entire book of the Bible that is just full of worship songs and these musical prayers to God. We'll come back to the Psalms in just a minute. In the New Testament, we know for a fact that Jesus himself sang songs in worship. Did you know Jesus sang worship songs with his disciples at the Last Supper? And Jesus even quoted a worship song with his dying breaths on the cross, Psalm 22. And of course, the early Christians, the early church, they continued this tradition of singing to God. And then at the very end of the Bible, in the book of Revelation, this should be familiar if you've been with us. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. But at the end of the Bible, we get this vision of what it's going to look like when God's redeeming work is done, when heaven and earth are united for eternity. And what does eternity look like? Well, there's this massive, diverse, gathered community. And what is this community doing? Well, they're singing God's praises. So apparently making music to God is something we're going to be doing for a really long time. I guess we'd better get used to it. Well, I think all of this raises the question of why. Why is music so integral? Why is music so essential to worship? Let's look for a second at this passage we read a minute ago, Psalm 150. Remember that the Psalms are, this is like the songbook of the Bible. In Psalm 150, this is the very last song in the whole book. This is the grand finale. And I think it names at least one way that worship is essential, one reason that worship is so integral, or music, excuse me, is so integral to worship. If you missed it earlier, Psalm 150 is pretty short, and here's what it says. It says, "Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise God in His fortress, the sky. Praise God in His mighty acts. Praise God as suits His incredible greatness. Praise God with the blast of the ram's horn. Praise God with lute and lyre. Praise God with drum and dance." It says, "Praise God with strings and pipe. Praise God with loud cymbals, with clashing cymbals. Let every living thing praise the Lord." And then one more time for good measure, it says, "Praise the Lord." Now notice, that is not a polite suggestion, is it? This is not saying like, hey, you know, you might want to include a little music in your worship services if you want to, you know, just to spice things up a bit. No. This is commanding us to make music in worship. And not just any music either. This is saying, hey, you better bring it. Hey, you better really make some noise. This is saying, you know, don't just use instruments. For sure, use instruments, but don't just use instruments. It's saying, put your body into it as well. Use your lungs as you sing. Move your body and dance a little bit. Clap your hands in worship. In short, I think Psalm 150 is saying, hey, allow this music to help you to offer yourself more fully to God. That's at least one reason why music is so integral to worship. Allow this immersive activity as we sing God's praises, as these songs touch our hearts and our minds and our life, allow all of that to empower us and to carry us into the life that God calls us to live. In a few minutes, we are going to be celebrating a baptism, which is super exciting. We're always excited to celebrate baptisms, of course, but it's especially exciting because we haven't been able to do one of these since COVID hit. And obviously, we'd certainly rather celebrate this in person, but we're making do under the current circumstances, and we're so excited about this baptism. Well, that word baptism, it comes from an ancient Greek word that we find in the New Testament, and that word is baptizo. And that word literally means to dip. And that's because the first Christians, as they were being baptized, in many cases, they would have been dipped all the way under the water. Now, there's lots of different ways that we do baptisms. We don't always dunk people all the way under. We don't always dip them all the way under. Sometimes we sprinkle. Sometimes we pour the water. When we baptize little Simon, he's only a few months old, so we're not going to dip him all the way under the water. We're just going to sprinkle little Simon. But no matter how we do the baptism, that symbolism always remains the same. You know, when somebody literally gets dipped all the way under the water, what happens? Well, that water, that surrounds them completely, right? The water immerses them. There is no part of the body that water does not touch. And we believe that's a sign and that's a symbol and that's a sacrament, we would say, of the fact that Jesus' call on that person's life is complete. It's total. It's immersive, right? And it's just like Jesus told his disciples, hey, if you're going to follow me, it's going to take everything you've got. Jesus says, I don't just want part of you. I want all of you. And that's part of what we signify as we celebrate baptisms, and as we, those of us who have been baptized, remember our own baptisms. Well, as we celebrate little Simon's baptism here in a few minutes, and as we're thinking today about the role of music in worship, I want each of us to really think about the call of Jesus on our own life. And I would challenge each of us to think about this question. Is there a part of my heart? Is there a part of my mind? Is there a part of my life that I'm holding back? Is there a part of who I am that I haven't fully given over to following Jesus? Now, that question is going to land differently for each of us, depending on where we're at. You know, there may be some of you that are thinking, hey, I'm new to church. I'm new to Christianity. I'm kind of just scoping this out. There's not really any part of my heart or life that I've given to following Jesus yet. And if that's you, I might just invite you to consider what would that look like for you to become a follower of Jesus. And if that's something that interests you, if that's something you feel called to explore, reach out to us. We want to connect with you. We want to walk with you. We would love nothing more than to help you with those those initial steps of discipleship? Is there a part of my life that I haven't fully given to Jesus? For any of us who haven't been baptized yet, maybe this is a call to think about, is it time? Is it time to come and receive this sacrament, receive these waters that call us and immerse us into a life of following Jesus? Is there a part of my life that I haven't fully given to being a disciple? I think for many of us, myself included, we're committed churchgoers, committed Christians. We could point to lots of different parts of our lives where we would say, yeah, we're living into the call of Jesus. But the challenge for us is to think about, is there something that we're still holding back? What is Jesus calling us to surrender? What is Jesus calling us to let go of in this particular season of our life? Maybe it's a toxic relationship that we don't really need to be in. Maybe it's a bad, destructive habit that we've developed that we need to reach out and get some help to break. Maybe it's our finances. Maybe we haven't allowed the story of Jesus to shape the way that we use our financial resources. It's a challenging question, but it's one that all of us as disciples are called to ask ourselves over and over and over again. Is there part of who I am that I haven't fully given to being a disciple of Jesus? Well, every time we sing in worship, every time we make music, that's a reminder to us that Jesus doesn't just want part of us, but Jesus wants all of us. And so as we sing, and as we listen to Ty and the Kindred Band make such incredible music on our behalf, let's offer ourselves as fully as we can to God, and let's allow that music to empower us and to carry us into the life that God is calling us to live. Let me pray for us. Oh, gracious God, we are so thankful for the gift of music, for the way that it moves us, for the way that it inspires us, for the way that it comforts us. And God, as we make music to you in worship, as we make music together with one another, as we allow our musicians in the Kindred Band to sing the songs that we have on our hearts, on our behalf, God, we pray that you would use all of that to help draw us into the life that you've created us to live. We trust you to do this, God, and we love you, Jesus. Help us to love you ever more fully. In your name we pray, amen. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Kindred Church Podcast. If this episode was meaningful to you, consider sharing it with a friend who might also enjoy it. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast here and give us a rating that helps us connect with more listeners. This free resource and all of Kindred's ministries are supported by the generosity of people like you. Your giving changes lives, and it helps us to share and embody God's love. If you'd like to make a donation, you can do so on our website at www.kindrednc.church. Just select Give. You can find lots of ways to connect with our community on our website, as well as on our social media pages. Thanks again for listening, and we will catch you next time.